Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the seas.
A reading from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities, it consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboam? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord.
The Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the best and most important books I have ever read, and I'm serious about this, this is not just hyperbole, is a book by Abraham Joshua Heschel, the great Jewish scholar, called The Prophets. As you can see, I've read it many times because it's falling apart. And what Heschel does in this is he talks about these strange characters, the prophets. And today, we hear from Hosea. Now, remember, a couple weeks ago, we heard from Amos. And Amos was a prophet of justice. What Heschel says about Amos is that Amos knows God as the selfless and exalted being whose sensibilities and concern for justice are pained by the sinful transgressions of Israel. It's a God who says to Israel, "You know, this is the way you should be living, and you're not, and it's not going to end well." And when you read Amos, when you get done, you think, wow, that was a little rough. But then you get to Hosea. Again, saying about Amos, Heschel says, we hear but sparingly of a positive, spontaneous emotion welling up in the depths of divine being in Amos. But Hosea, who we heard last week and today, it is Hosea who flashes a glimpse into the inner life of God as he ponders God's relationship to Israel. In parables and in lyrical outbursts, the decisive motive behind God's strategy in history is declared. And you know what that decisive motive is? It is love. Love. Passionate love. And boy, is this true today in chapter 11. You know, if somebody ever says to you, oh, you know, the Old Testament is, it just kind of irrelevant. You know, we often relegate the Old Testament to second class status in the Bible. So wrong. Jesus read this Bible. Jesus cut his teeth on people like Hosea. And listen to what Hosea says. Hosea says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, I liberated him. We've got here a parent-child relationship. That's pretty intimate, isn't it? But then what we hear is, the more I called them, the more they went from me. Obviously, this relationship is going through some challenges. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. I'm the one that brought them out of Egypt. I called my son. I gave birth to this people. And what's happened? They've gone and found another parent. That's no parent. But then, like a parent who's struggling, suddenly you go back, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. Here is a parent who is passionate about their child. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. You know, if you have ever been a parent, you know what Hosea is talking about. I loved this kid. I fed this kid. I held this kid. But then, as is so often in the prophets, suddenly things shift. Just as they do in our lives. Suddenly, God says, they shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. My people are bent on turning away from me to the Most High, they call, but he does not raise them up at all. That's the experience of parenthood, isn't it? You know, one moment we're talking about our children, I called them, I put them in my arms, I put them up to my cheek, I led them with cords of human kindness and bands of love. And then they have pushed us too far. To your room! And I don't care if you ever come out of that room again. I mean, this is a God who is full of passion and love. Not some static, idle entity off in the distance. And then what happens? Well, what happens is what happens to you and me. You know, we send the kid to their room. You will never come out of there. You'd be lucky if you ever get to eat another meal. And then what does God say? How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? They got destroyed. My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Wow. If there was ever a description of God as a human being, as someone that can relate to us, here it is. You know, it goes on, but you know, what we find here is a God who cares about us with a deep, deep passion. This is not a distant entity. This is not an idol. Remember last week I said that the primary problem in the Bible is idolatry. It is, as Heschel says, you know, it's what happens to people who they have been encountered by an invisible God, the God that delivered them from slavery in Egypt, the God who led them in the wilderness, is a God who cannot be managed, a God who cannot be fully described, a God who cannot be controlled. And we find that hard to put up with. Just give me a golden calf. Just give me something that I can wrap my arms around. But that is not Yahweh. That is not the God who liberated them and the God who sustains them. This God will not be managed. And boy, what do we find out today? This God is one who is passionately in love with us and like us. Just think about that, like us, has these deep, profound emotions. This is a God whose relationship with us is grounded in a deep, abiding love. Wow. Sounds a lot like what Jesus was telling us, right? And of course, it's what we find in Jesus. We find someone who is passionately in love with us. And of course, Jesus loses his patience with us. He says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, it's a Jesus who in the garden says, "Oh God, if you can take this cup away from me, please do." You know, sometimes we turn Jesus into this monochrome idol. We want Jesus to be the Jesus we want. Jesus was a human being who was madly in love with God and madly in love with us and experienced all of this God of Hosea in his inner life. This is who God is. And thank God for that. Would we really want a golden calf? Would we really want something that we could control? That God would give us nothing. There would be no surprises in that God. That God wouldn't suddenly deliver us from distress. But of course, we have to realize that we are living in this ongoing relationship with God. You know, if we go to the Gospel of Luke, we find out the primary alternative to God in the Bible. The primary idol, guess what it is? Money. Can you imagine that? We have this story about the rich fool who wants to build bigger barns. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God. In the Gospel of Luke, beginning with this chapter and then going, gosh, I think until chapter 18, we have unique material that is Luke's for the most part. And what we find is this subject comes up again, money, 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 money. Because you know what Jesus knows, what the whole Bible knows, is you cannot serve God and mammon, God and wealth. The alternative to God is wealth. It is where we think we will find our true security. And I think what you and I both know, if we're honest, is all it does is produce anxiety. We think if we have more of it, if we build bigger barns, if we just had every ounce of wealth on the planet, that somehow we would find peace. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We would just worry more about it. Every time the stock market went down, oh my God, the world is falling apart. We're going to hear this week after week. And you know, we in the church, too often we only talk about money around annual giving. And let me tell you this, I'm all for annual giving to support the mission of this church. But, you know, the Bible from beginning to end is about resources and money and what we do with it. You really could say about the Bible in general, it's the economy, stupid. It's about how resources are allocated to help make this world a place where everyone has what they need to flourish. And it's about how societies relate to money. It's not just an individual thing. It's will we build an economy that allocates resources so that everybody has something? You know, we're all too aware there are people who have nothing. And we're all too aware that it is so easy for politicians to court the well-heeled. And so you have tax policies that are passed that give more money to people who already have more than they could ever need. It's the whole thing. Jesus was talking about the whole thing. You know, the kingdom of God might well be translated the great economy. Because you see, God cares about the stuff of this life. And the God of Hosea and the God of Jesus is saying, man, I liberated you from Egypt. I brought you out into a place where I have sustained you in the wilderness. I brought you into your own land. I keep wanting to give you good gifts. Just trust me. Next week's gospel will be all about that. You know, that if God can take care of flowers and birds, God can take care of us. Well, today let us relate to this God who is just so full of love for us. The God of Hosea. Let us trust that this God wants to love us. And sometimes that love will be saying, what are you doing? Like a parent, what are you doing? And sometimes we may find that we've been sent off to our room, and rightly so, but God keeps coming back. Okay, come on, come on. I lost my temper. Here's a God who cares. You know, a parent who cares, a God who cares, is a God who sometimes has to tell us like it is, right? This is what Hosea discovered. This is what Moses knew. This is what Jesus knew. Because this God of ours is madly in love with us. And a God who wouldn't want to get us back on track is not a God who really loves us. Like a parent who doesn't care what the kid is doing isn't a parent that has fully understood what it means to love their child. Thank God for Hosea. Thank God that Hosea knew about the love of God. Let us put our trust in that love, that God who is passionately in love with us and will never stop loving us. Thanks be to God for that.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.
Still be my vision, or